In this podcast, I share a video that was taken at the Go Green Portland conference back in October of 2017. I gave a presentation with Matt Horvat, founder of Lean Portland. I think I've mentioned Lean Portland to you a couple times already. It's a volunteer group of Lean Six Sigma consultants. We do work with nonprofits in the Portland area, and he's the one that set up the group. So in the presentation, we go over lean concepts and talk about the people and the planet side of lean and how those can impact those and improve your sustainability program. Go Green Conference is a sustainability conference held every year. It's one of the better conferences in the city of Portland, at least, for getting all the sustainability professionals together and hearing about the latest efforts going on at the city level, the county level, and then other regional and national things happening. So it's really an honor for us to be asked and allowed to present there. The video is available online. So if you want to see the slides and see the discussion and watch the videos, then you can do that. It'll be linked in the podcast notes. And I'm gonna play the videos. So all you can hear is the audio, but there is interaction that goes along in the discussion after the videos that I think is still valuable to hear on the podcast, but definitely you'll get a better experience if you go and actually watch the videos live. So this presentation is a little bit different in terms of hearing Matt's view on the culture and the people side of lean. And then I've gone over and probably presented something similar with looking for waste in a pizza exercise. At least I believe I have in a previous podcast, but it's always good to hear that. And then you'll hear some of the discussions and follow up with the audience around what they observed. Okay, hope you enjoy the podcast and talk to you soon.
Thank you so much for turning out today. It's quite an honor to share the stage with Brian and Kel and Dave and Lindsay and the other presenters here at the Go Green Conference and the 10-year anniversary. So it's pretty honorable to be here. Welcome to part two of the employee engagement workshop. I'd like to quick show of hands on who went to part one. The last hour, so we're at a pretty high overlap. Okay, cool. So we did a plus delta at the end of the last session where we asked for some feedback on what worked well and what we should change to make it even better. The feedback was to go a little slower or at least let you guys know that the slides are going to be available through the Go Green website. So if we're going so fast that you're having a hard time taking notes, know at least that both decks will be available through the Go Green website following today. The other thing, is that both of them? Okay, great. So, let's jump right in. So for as theoretical and as heady the last session was, this will be more practical and we can go do it right now. I learned there was kind of two ways to approach change. You can think your way into a new way of acting, or you can act your way into a new way of thinking. And so this is going to be all about acting our way into a new way of thinking. And so with that, let's let Brian introduce himself, and we'll test our technology.
All right, I'm Brian Hurley. I spent 18 years at Rockwell Collins, and most recently in Wilsonville. And I'm now doing my own lean consulting through business performance improvement. And so my background has been in process improvement and statistics and data analysis. And then about 7, 8, 9 years ago, I really started getting into sustainability. I started realizing there's this strong connection between process improvement world and sustainability. And as you take waste out of your process, you actually help the environment. And people like being involved in process improvement. So that's what we're going to expand on today quite a bit.
My name is Matt Horvat. I've been a professional process improvement guy, I guess, since college in industrial engineering. I work in healthcare where there's a lot of money to fix stuff. But on the side, we do volunteer work, and that's kind of how our mishmash crew is formed. We've made ourselves a group called Lean Portland, now a project from the Pacific Northwest College of Arts, who gave us this sweet new logo. But we're really just a bunch of guys who are, I feel like we're human rights activists for inreach into companies to help bring out the voice of the employee to get over our culture of oppression that we've created because we've optimized the machine or the doctor or the CEO and not the worker doing the work for the customer. So it's a whole different approach to how we approach business. And today, this hour is going to be some real hands-on stuff on how to go out and do it. And so, in fact, this whole slide deck is really meant to be like a train-the-trainer session so that you guys can take this exact same 10 set of slides and go teach it. You've been given a form, and we're going to use this today. This is slide like number 25 and 26, and so we're going to use this as a worksheet during the presentation today, and then I'm envisioning you taking this whole slide deck back to your team and going through it together with them and using this form to identify wastes in your environment and start to improve the workflow, the reduce waiting time. Maybe it's going to reduce waste to the landfill.
Are there more of those hanging around?
No. I was asked to bring 60. I brought 50 to try to be a little conservative. And I'm really excited about the turnout.
Good. I'll draw a little pitch.
Yeah, okay, thanks a lot. It's a pretty simple form, and we'll cover these definitions as we go. So with a scrap piece of paper, you should be able to keep up. And then again, the other valuable piece here is the actual link to the Google Slides, which, again, if you go to the Go Green Conference website, you'll be able to get those in a little bit. Yeah, all right, so with that, let's get started. Back to the form, it's got three columns. So we've identified three different kinds of waste in our organizations. Actually, I take credit for that, but it wasn't us. We're just here teaching these tools that have been around a long time. We've labeled them stagnation, movement, or people. A waste of when things are sitting on the shelves, stagnation. Maybe it's customers waiting in line, stagnation. Movement is, of course, we have to do a lot of movement to do our jobs, but oftentimes there's more than is the minimal necessary. And so focusing on movement and reducing it is a really important and effective way to make things more efficient and to provide better customer service. The people side of waste is not so much like we got too many people, it's more like we're not allowing their creativity to blossom. And so think about the opportunity of people on the employee engagement side. So we're gonna watch about a 6-minute video about the New York Food Bank. This was a group that was sponsored by a nonprofit consulting arm of Toyota Motor Manufacturing in Kentucky. They started a nonprofit consultancy so that they could reach out to nonprofits who need help. And so they did a project, and this will be a good example of how a lean project comes together with a group of people and does a pretty intensive multi-week exercise to focus on a flow issue. And you're gonna see their customers and all the different kinds of wastes that they've taken out of the process. So your homework is to write down and identify those wastes. That's kind of the whole objective of this class today, is to get your lean lens on so that you can identify wastes. And then go out and help and empower the people you work with to identify these same wastes and give them the ownership of their job so that they can take that waste out. Like, that's the main objective of waste. All this stuff around organizational design and psychology of leadership, it's complicated, but I mean, it's a really simple principle of just get the waste out of the process. And so with most of the clients, we start there. We clean up the shelves. We find out where there's a long waiting line, and we do what we can to try to make it a smoother flow. And so it's a really basic approach to a really complicated system. So that's the second bit of your homework. First is identify waste. The second is look at the employee engagement context that you're gonna see these consultants work through in the video. Because it wasn't just like the expert industrial engineer coming in and saying, oh, well, I've done a calculation and a quality functional deployment diagram and realized that your bottleneck is at station number 14. Go double the capacity. That's not how to fix things. I mean, that might work once, and you might make yourself feel really important if you've got that kind of analytical skills, but this is really all about bringing the tools to the people doing the job. So with that, can we try the tech for the video? And we'll debrief afterwards. We might get an advertisement. This is just YouTube.
like to put smiles on people's faces. If there's a child out there that's in need, I need to help this person out. Down to our last box, and you have like seven families standing on the line, and you just have that one box, and you don't know what exactly to do. That kills me.
George is a great leader. He knows what he's doing, but they didn't really have a system kind of set up. Because if you have a good system, I think the work takes care of itself.
We call TPS the Toyota Production System. The summation of many, many small, simple, cheap improvements can have a very big impact.
People are starting to understand that these basic principles of the Toyota Production System apply to any kind of process. It doesn't have to be a manufacturing process.
We have our way of doing it, but if there's a faster way for us to go out and give food out to people faster, then I'm all for it. I'm all for it.
What about a different box size? So that we're not shipping so much air.
If we can go to a smaller box, we would have the benefit of being able to put more meals on the truck to serve more people.
The side benefit being it's not so difficult to handle. The thing that struck me was how difficult it was for the volunteers that were there to pack that box. I mean, they were walking long distances, they were carrying heavy weight.
It was kind of disarray, just the table in the middle. Everybody was scrambling to get stuff open. And I'm like, this is not really too productive.
So by putting everybody on one side of the line and having the material come from the opposite, when people were going to get a smoother flow.
Yeah,
let's go for it now. I don't care if I leave work.
Well, I don't want you to have to walk 15 feet to go get those two cans of corn. I want those cans of corn to be readily available to you in the right quantity, at the right place, at the right time, so that you can pack it in the box.
Does anybody remember how long it was taking us to pack one box when we first started?
3 minutes.
3 minutes? That's exactly right. It was around 3 minutes. What do you think we were packing one box? How long and how many seconds today? About 11 seconds.
Kaizen is a Japanese word for continuous improvement. And what this philosophy means is we always want to strive step by step to make a process better.
Outside Toyota, probably can sometimes have a negative connotation with a bad thing. I find that in many cases it's better to say we have something that we can improve.
Sweet.
Got plenty of room.
Yeah, plenty of room. The list is a lot shorter than it was when we started.
How long did you guys wait?
We waited for like about a minute.
That's it?
Yeah.
That's nothing.
I know.
Unfortunately, that's standard. But there'll be other cases where this needs to be done, and hopefully you've learned some of the basic principles so you can set something up from the beginning.
One thing I did learn from these guys is how to structure things one by one, you know, not just take it as a whole thing and just be like, it's a mess, but instead I can take step by step by step.
Website, the TSSC, or you can probably just Google Toyota Nonprofit, there are at least maybe a half a dozen different projects where they've done examples in different sectors of the economy. One focused in government, a couple focused in nonprofits, so great resource there. So you guys had some homework. I'd like to do the raise your hand for silence kind of method of crowd control. Would you please turn to your neighbor? I'll set the timer for 3 minutes. Describe the two things that was your homework. The ways that you identified because we're starting to practice our lean limbs, and then the context. Talk about what happened with the people that were doing the work that helped them get to be making all these improvements. And then we'll debrief together as a group. So in 3 minutes, I'll raise my hand and we'll get started as a group and focus. Well done, guys. Thank you so much for refocusing. I totally failed as your presenter. That was 3 minutes and 45 seconds. So who would like to share about a waste they observe in the process that was fixed? Stagnation, moving, or people-wise? Yeah, go ahead. Thanks.
For moving, we found having the stuff delivered kind of in a supermarket style so that the boxes could flow instead of a person holding a box and walking from station to station.
Okay.
To fill it up.
Yeah, probably a lot less movement there at the end. Real good. Thank you. What else?
Wasted space in the box.
Yep.
And then that led to wasted space in the truck.
Yeah, didn't she say too how removing that waste allowed them to improve some other things, like they could carry more?
Less cars.
Right. Yeah, that was neat. It was neat how taking a little waste out leads to a lot of different improvements.
They increased their ability to put, 500 more boxes on the truck. Mm-hmm. They got to feed more people.
Mm-hmm. What else? Yeah.
Massive decrease in frustration, like their human capital.
The people part.
Yeah.
Right.
Empowerment.
Uh-huh. Yeah, that was a whole team effort. It took a lot of facilitation, a lot of investment from not working to do the rearranging, even if that was a very well-prepared workshop. What did you see about the context as far as the staff involvement? Yeah.
I was gonna say, it was interesting the volunteers had already noticed, before anybody came in, this isn't working, but
right.
They hadn't tapped those ideas of how the volunteers could help improve it.
Mm-hmm.
But then once they brought in the team, they all really worked together to develop a solution together, it seemed like.
Did you get I got the impression that there was a supervisor who we interviewed who was driving that forklift, and at one point he was kind of being joked with, like, I'll just go home if it was not enough work or something. It was neat because I felt like that was a moment of him kind of overcoming and letting go and letting people participate in setting that up. That was a neat moment in the video. Yeah, back here.
Yeah, we were thinking about how it, even though the stats are really impressive and that's how we all want to operate,
right.
But it takes, if the disaster has just happened, it's our human tendency to act. And this takes a lot of planning, thinking, measuring, designing, and that work that really needs to happen before the disaster, or you can't, it's not just 3 minutes down to 11 seconds. There was a lot of investment of time to figure out the new system, and so it really takes a planful mindset that it can't happen.
Right.
It's hard to have it happen right after the disaster.
Yeah. I kind of oversimplify things by just giving you a form and telling you to go out and teach your people about waste and then it'll be better. I mean, that'll probably happen a little bit, but did you notice how she had a stopwatch and was like, this is now an 11-second process. Like, she's got some practice in this. She knows how to do a time study. Those are kind of difficult. And so it's not just as so simple, straightforward. It does take, like, time to sharpen the axe. Mm-hmm. I've heard that analogy. And it's so real. Yeah.
The use of the rollers and stuff, I'm not sure that in terms of
using some piece of technology mm-hmm. to move product instead of people moving
yeah.
all of it all the time.
Yeah. Yeah, so what do you do if a client says, well, that's my job, that's what I do. You're going to take that job away from me?
It's going to change their job.
It will change their job, that's for sure. We have to have a real commitment to the people, and so if that job, if there's less work to do in the new process, you have to like make a commitment before that even about the people so that everybody knows going into it that no one's going to get fired because of an improvement. Did you want to say something? Yeah.
It was nice. I think punchline towards the end when one of the women said, oh gosh, I've learned lots of skills here, and uh-huh. next time there's another event,
right.
I could
yeah.
take the leads to make some process like this happen. Mm.
Yeah, you bet. It might propagate yeah. into more improvements in the future.
Mm.
I also remember the facilitator saying like they were kind of celebrating the success, but also saying there's so much more to do.
Yeah, there's still, even in the after pictures, they were still looking at like,
mm-hmm.
we still got a list.
Yeah, that's fun. It's a journey, they say, or we say too much. So, good job on the identifying. We're going to do another video a little bit later to do the same exercise and get into a little bit more detail. Thank you. I just want to bring in a little bit about what Dave and Kale presented in the first hour on the culture bit. Or maybe we can advance the slides once manually. Thank you. Okay, cool. So I'm not going to really emphasize too much about culture because we did a pretty deep dive. Just another reminder again about how culture is complicated, and if you look in the dictionary, it's not very helpful when it comes to business context. So these are a couple of definitions right out of probably Wikipedia. And so Dave introduced us to the onion model of culture, and I really like this. It's new to me, although I think probably Dr. Schein invented it in the 60s. I feel like all these great ideas every generation have to be relearned. I've heard a lot about like peel the onion back to get to the core of the culture, and so this makes a lot of sense to me intuitively. And in fact, I wasn't the one that, you know, the cliche has a history. So we'll just go through it once real quick. The waste that we've identified is usually a process issue. It's a behavior or it's a workflow. It's usually where I get hired in my history to go fix stuff. And so it's a waiting line at the clinic is my project, or it's a handoff of paperwork that needs to be more reliable, or it's some issue with some of the examples that we'll bring in later about congestion for customers. These are all the things that happen on a day-to-day basis, and it's like project, 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 project. We're all overburdened with them. When we get really kind of thoughtful about why we have so many projects and we want to get a handle on our business, we start to set up different routines. I feel like the last 3 to 5 years of the lean movement, if you've been on the bleeding edge, has been all around daily management system. And so that's kind of a buzzword around setting up really routine systems for your people to work in every day. So for example, now at my clinic, every morning before the shift starts, the team huddles together and they talk about the operational issues of the day. And there's a cascade of huddles all the way to the executive team. So by 9 o'clock, if there's an issue across the 1,000-person firm, that's known and it's handled, or at least it's been prioritized by the right people. So that's a very intentional focus on the values. It's a conscious strategy that we set up. Even more deeper than that, though, the assumptions. And so, like, the context that we saw in the video of the people that were doing the work in the workshop, actually making the improvements and doing the hands-on, rearranging the tables where the cardboard boxes sit, and setting up that little assembly line thing out of the back of the truck, and the little 2x4 thing that stopped the box with the cord. Like, you have to have the mindset that that guy who's driving the truck is the right guy to be fixing the job. It's not the manager or it's not the boss. And so back to this bit about psychological safety we talked about, sometimes it's not okay to change your job. And so we have to like turn that on its head and give people permission to go make things safer, more interesting, faster. Just don't make someone else's job harder. And like taking waste out of a process is
a really quick road to doing all that. So now we're attacking the core of the onion by teaching people about waste. Simple enough. So with that, Brian's going to help us get into a little bit more detail on waste.
So hopefully, as you've learned about Lean, or if this is the first time you've heard, how many of you have some background in Lean before or have heard of this? Okay. So one of the really cool things is over time, you know, as I first got exposed to Lean, what really stood out was the tools. Wow, there's some really cool tools like Kanban and value stream mapping and 5S. And then you learn more about it and you say, wow, this doesn't even seem like a business model. This is something different than what we've seen. This isn't, you know, cutthroat business. This is about getting people engaged and getting them participating in the process and teaching them how to do their process better and giving them ways to feel engaged in the process. This doesn't sound like a business model that most of us are familiar with. And that's what Dave and Kel mentioned earlier about this collaborative spirit, not competitive and cutthroat. And so that's been really cool as you get into this more. It's, you know, this is something different. And it's not the same, and it's gaining popularity for that reason. And so it's still a new concept, and still spreading, and still people don't know very much about it. And that's hopefully what we're trying to convey here is this isn't about just saving money for the organization. This really is a core piece of it. And Toyota is one of the leaders from a sustainability standpoint as well, coincidentally. And they happen to practice these principles, and this is their foundation. So it's a nice tie with all the sustainability efforts. So let's deep dive a little bit more on the wastes. And this is really where there's a connection into the environment really strongly. So when we have inventory, that's an obvious place to start, is look for where you see the most amount of things. And that's pretty obvious in a manufacturing or something that deals with products. But when you dig in and look at your inbox, or look at your to-do list, or look at the number of orders that are waiting to be processed, or the number of requests you have from a customer. That's all inventory. That's all work that needs to be done. And that's an opportunity that says, why is it all happening right now? Why can't we deal with it or handle it right now? And how do we get through that quicker? And so it's highlighting that something's stuck in the process. So where you see inventory, that's a potential waste. So that's one thing you want to look for. And we're going to go through another exercise in a second here. And I'll show you another video. And so we're going to have you go round two on this. If you see waiting, or you're waiting for your boss to approve something or give you the authority to do something, that's all time that your end customer is waiting for that same amount of time. Okay, so when you think of it in terms of the customer's experience, this is where a lot of these wastes are going to come out. You're going to stay busy doing other stuff, but your customers are waiting that whole time. And so waiting is one of the wastes. If you overproduce instead of doing something in advance of what you actually have as orders or work that needs to be done. You said, I'm going to work ahead. I'm going to get that presentation done a week in advance because I'm being proactive. But the problem is, what if that gets canceled? What if it gets pushed out? And what did I not work on that was probably more urgent right now? So when we try to jump too far ahead, we run into some problems there as well. So overproduction is one. Overprocessing is, I'm doing some work that is actually valuable and useful, and it's the right thing to do, but now I'm going above and beyond what's actually needed. So example I'll give in my last job was, we had packaging, and we were trying to protect the parts. And we had it wrapped up to protect it, and obviously we don't want things to get damaged and hurt. These are very expensive aerospace parts. But what happens is, you'd get these packages that were wrapped up 3 or 4 times, and then someone would take tape and wrap it up 4 or 5 times around it. And so, you know, the cost of the actual materials of the tape and the bubble wrap was pretty minimal. But when you start looking at the time it takes to unpackage those items and to package them up in the first point, that's all over-processing. It's going way above and beyond probably what's needed. We're doing it just to be careful, just to be safe. And in fact, if we really look at it, we'd probably find some opportunities to cut that down. And so that's where some of the real opportunity is. It's, we're doing the right job, but we're doing way above what they want. Or I'm making a report, and my boss just wants this little chart, and I've made 7 different charts in different colors and different fonts. And all that extra time is not valuable. And so I'm going way above and beyond, and they're not valuing that extra work. So that's time I'm wasting. And then if you make mistakes and errors, that's time I have to go back and redo it over again. And that delays our process. And sometimes if it's physical materials, that turns into stuff I have to throw away or recycle or get rid of. We also have the movement waste of motion. So that's, think about stuff with your own workspace. And how much are you flipping back from different programs to get the information and copy paste over here and then download this into a different format and then upload it in this software to get it into the right format for the end user. And so all that motion and moving things around is taking up time. And that's one of the wastes to look for. And then physically transporting items. So there's fuel being consumed. And guess what? When you transport something, you got to package it up. And so you go get some bubble wrap and cardboard box and tape, and you do all of these extra, purchase all these extra materials to be able to make those transportation moves. And so if we can cut down the space and the time, then we can eliminate some of the transportation waste. And you saw that in the video, is they were able to bring things closer so they don't have to move things around as much. It's much easier to deal with. And then the skills. Do we have people in the right spot to make them most effective? So are we really utilizing the skills that they have? Or we just say, go to work, be quiet, just do your job, we just want your hands, we don't care about what's in your brain. And that's a huge waste. That's probably the biggest waste of all is people have great ideas about what they could do and they feel like because of the culture or their boss or feel like they might get in trouble, they don't say anything. And so it's trapped in their heads, in their minds, and we need to get that out of there. And so this exercise of going through and identifying waste and trying to create a culture that allows people to talk about these wastes is so important. So where do you see, again, we're going to do a quick exercise here. Just talk to the same person you had before. This time will only take a minute. And talk about waste you see either at work or at home that you can think of. Okay, that might fit into one of these categories. You have a quick question?
Wondering if you'll get into at all how we identify some of the latent skills that people don't really realize that they have because they haven't put the this lens of looking for waste and how they actually have a solution that they've seen and they've recognized, but they weren't stepping into the empowerment place of being able to bring that forth. So I'm wondering if there's a way of addressing latency in the skills.
Latency. So you're saying like how do they realize that they have the solutions for it? Yeah.
And then
usually we see that through our Kaizen events. So it's not just like, okay, tell me what you would do here differently. It's something they're coaxing through on a multi-day event. And so it's usually, maybe it's not day one, but it's like day two or day three even. And all of a sudden it's like, all right, now I'm starting to sink in. I'm starting to see these ideas. And it's people saying, it's okay, we're looking for your ideas. What do you think? And asking for their input versus just who has ideas and leaving it open. So kind of really coaxing it out of people. Good, good. So why don't we take a quick minute here, talk to your neighbor and think about waste at home or at work that might fit in one of these categories. Thank you. Anyone have any good examples they want to share? How about some home ones? Those are pretty good. Yeah, what'd you have?
Yeah, just all the stuff that accumulates in our homes that we don't use. And that's kind of like stagnated inventory.
Yep. Like, what kind of items are you talking about?
College notes.
College notes.
Clothes.
Clothes.
Books.
Yes.
Food.
Books. Food. Toilet paper. I've heard a good article that Kale wrote about toilet paper and inventory of toilet paper. So we'll get that. Yes.
My company discourages people from working from home, and that seems like a huge waste of time traveling to and from work, carbon emissions, all that.
Yeah. Sounds like a theory. Was it theory X model? Yeah. If you're not at your desk, then you're probably not working hard. Yeah.
Yeah.
What are the wastes? Yeah.
Well, for me, it's a lot of it has to do with time management, and running my own business. I'm just sharing that, like, I would just get overwhelmed because I'd get all this advice and I felt like I had to do it all. And then I had an advisor just tell me, instead of planning for the whole year, just focus on 3-month increments. And I'm like, oh. You know, just simplifying in that way,
yep.
Like breaking it down into smaller pieces and doing them one at a time.
Yep. So you heard that one piece flow in the video, right?
Right.
One at a time.
Yeah.
And we take on these humongous tasks and say, oh, I'm working on this whole thing. We'll break that down into small pieces and finish that, get the response to your customer, and then go work something else that's small task. And not taking on these massive, that's a big amount of inventory at once I'm trying to push through the system. So, good. Any other, yeah?
We have sustainability reporting that we do. I work for a large manufacturer. So we get metrics from 50 or 60 different plants around the world that are kept in different ways in those different plants in different languages. And they come to a person who then downloads those and puts them into some giant Excel spreadsheet craziness. And I mean, it's like there's just multiple places for error and frustration. Yep. And I said, you know, we have SAP. Why can't we just put a field in SAP? No, I'm not an engineer. I'm an education person. I said, can't we just put it in SAP? And then just, and they're like, oh, yeah, we could. And suddenly,
wow.
We saved lots of hours and frustration.
Nice. Yeah, and a lot of times, half of it is just getting everybody in the system and the whole process together and talking about it, mm-hmm. saying, this is what I do. And you do that with that information? Well, I could give you a different format. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, that would save so much time. Thanks.
Even
I mean,
how they had to report it, just, you know,
it
was ridiculous.
Yeah, so we get very good at doing our own work, and we don't realize what we're causing to somebody else, or we don't communicate back to the people who we're getting stuff from that they're causing us problems and inefficiencies. And once we get everybody together, looking at the value stream, all the steps, we start seeing huge opportunities to make things go better. And it's really from the customer standpoint. Okay, so one of the other things real quick on Lean that's pretty straightforward, that gets people excited about it, is something called 5S. And it's about getting organized with your work. And what happens is the first thing we do is we sort out the stuff we don't need anymore and we're not using. And get it out of there, and then reorganize and set up our work to be efficient based on what's remaining and put it in an organized fashion. And what happens is, a lot of times after that, we lead to a lot of excess stuff that we realize we bought all this stuff and we don't need it. And so this is very common in companies that go down lean, is they have this area for excess supplies. And this is out of the Port of Portland. But every company that has gone through some kind of 5S activity has these things set up as a way to minimize the impact of the excess that they had. But sometimes it's pretty eye-opening when you start going through and finding all the hoarding that's going on in the offices and departments and in your desks, because the system for the supplies is not trustworthy. So I don't know if those sticky notes are going to be there tomorrow, so I'm going to grab two or three of them. But when you have a system that's set up, all of a sudden people start to trust the system and they'll start to give up their little stash of supplies. And all of a sudden you realize, wow, we have so much excess here. And so you'll see that a lot too, is just a way to kind of, first step is, let's get everything out in the open, like Lean says, problems first, let's talk about it, get it exposed. It's always been, they're always been there, but they're hidden. And now we're bringing them to the surface. So I thought that was always nice to see those types of things. So the rest of the couple slides here is just some details on some of the waste we just talked about. A couple of examples to think through, so that's more for your reference. What I wanted to get into is the video. This is how to make a pizza. Huh. So I thought this would be something everyone can relate to. And again, the same thing is identify the waste you see in the process. This can be more of a manufacturing process. All right? So think about those wastes and we can go ahead and play that.
This is about 3 minutes. Video by Papa John's.
Yeah, I'm expecting that it'll be taken down at some point.
My name is Dawson Gibbs, and I'm going to show you how to make a Papa John's pizza for when you get hungry. What you need is Dustinator, a Jocker, and a large dough, which we keep in here. What you want to do is get the large dough out, coat it in the Dustinator. Get it down, interlock your fingers so you can get a nice edge, and slowly go through your pizza just like this, about once or twice, so you can get a good edge going. And then once you're done with that, flip your dough over, coat it with a little bit of Dustinator, and stretch it till it's about 75% of its original size. And then once you stretch it out, get your docker, dock it about 8 to 10 times. So it's nice around, and then once it's done, put your thumbs in, palms, and slap it out. What you want to do, fit it to a large screen. Once it's fitted to the screen, you want to get about a cup of sauce so it goes on a large dough. Put it in the middle and slowly sauce it. What you want to do, make sure your sauce is evenly distributed on the pizza. And once it is, make sure it's everywhere. And then once you get done, you want to put your toppings on it. You want to get about a handful of your toppings. Make sure it's all over your pizza. If you want to balance it out, make sure it's evenly distributed. About a handful of sausage. Same thing. Make sure it's all over the pizza. And then you can do any bacon you want. Not as much as ham. Get about half a handful. Spread it all over your pizza. And then once you get there, with chicken's bigger, so you only want a couple pieces of chicken on it. And then you just want to put a couple pieces on each of the pizza. And once you get your chicken on there, you want to move down and put your pepperonis. You only do about 9-6-3. Only put a couple pepperonis on there. Make sure it's all over the pizza. And then after that, this is the easiest part. A large pizza gets 2 cups of cheese. One on each side. On the other side, and then round it up. Once you're done, put it in the oven. That's how you make the pizza.
Do you see any waste in the process?
There's so much product.
Yeah, that whole tray thing is disturbing.
So that's where the employees get out of the end of the night.
That's
yeah.
A special pizza.
They
yeah.
Make a trough pizza.
That's trough pizza. Yeah, so that was a pretty obvious one right there. Just the waste in of the food that's missing the pizza completely. Or falling on the floor. Yeah. What'd you see?
But if he wasn't even measuring it. I mean, there were a couple of things where he said take this number, but it seems like there's just kind of a loose quantity.
6 or 7 times. A couple pieces here. Yes. Yeah, so just having the instructions there doesn't mean people are going to use it. So that's something you have to think about as well, is how do you get people who want to use it because they understand that it's important and it's actually helpful.
They even have pictures.
Yeah. Yep. So what were the some other things you noticed? Yeah.
Well, at one point there was pepperoni flying across, so I would guess that somebody else was also making pizza at the same time, so rather than maximizing this guy makes the dough and then it passes on to the next one and so on and such forth, because he's walking the whole line.
Yeah.
A lot of
motion.
A lot of movement.
Yeah. Yeah, they're set up like that'd probably be a lot of person travel. Yep. Yeah.
He had to bend over to get the dough in the beginning, and that's like, not only is it a waste of time, but it's exhausting.
Okay. Yeah. And that's bending and stretching. That's all movement,
not
right?
Very hygienic. Yeah, it's down around the knees. I was a little horrified.
Yeah.
Strangely, as haphazard as he was about a lot of it, I felt he overprocessed the sauce. His last couple strokes did absolutely nothing.
That's a good point. the whole process, yeah. When he slides it over, reaches for the ladle, puts the sauce on there, and then spins it around, the only value there is when the sauce hits the crust, or the dough, and then the dispensing it around a couple times. So there's probably maybe like 5 or 6 seconds, but it took 25 seconds there. So that's something you start digging deeper into this, you start to see that that's only the real value. We just need the sauce on the thing. We don't need it to go through elaborate steps to get the sauce out of the dispenser and all that. So you start to break this down even further once you take out some of the obvious stuff. Well, what about the inventory? Did you see any inventory? Yeah, so that's overproduction, waiting, anticipating demand for the pizzas. But, I mean, these are starting to degrade in quality. Well, there's probably an expiration on these at some point.
And he didn't even use one of those. He used a fresh wok.
Right, right. So that is an opportunity that you look at and say, why do we have so many here? And you start to dig into the questions and that break into the process. And then you start going from there and asking lots of questions. And not as accusatory, but just to say, why is it done this way? And there's a rational reason for that, I'm sure. But then you can start to challenge that and say, is there a better way we can do that so we can minimize the risk of that inventory right there? Mm-hmm. Yeah?
It's just a waste of the oven running. The product.
That's true, too. Yep. There's energy loss being there. We saw the food waste there. That's right. The amount of ingredients. There's probably cross-contamination of the toppings. There's a lot of issues there.
The cleanup,
actually. Yep.
And I ran this restaurant,
yeah.
So, and I would fire this kid. But there's some things that you can't predict. Like, you can kind of predict when a rush is coming, so you
yep.
can get on top of it. But you can't always predict if you aren't ready for it. You can't turn the oven off because it has to be preheated for the pieces
yep.
to go through. So there's some ways that it's just built into the process. And you have to, in order to serve your customer,
Yes. So step one is just kind of identifying the waste, and then step two would be, is this legitimate or not? Is it something we can do right now about this or not? So I'm going to move on a little bit because we want to talk through a couple more things, just a couple examples of some stuff we've been working on. We go one more slide. These are some of the things you should highlight. I think we identified all those. So tomorrow, actually, we have a second workshop at the Port of Portland. We're doing some stuff with wasted food, and we're looking at how do we identify some of these types of things going on in our community and use lean concepts to help improve on that. That's a big issue. And so we're going through an exercise of kind of teaching and educating and then working through some actual projects to try to cut at this with some of the food processors and the restaurants and other businesses in the area. So that's one of the things we've been working on, the Lean Portland Group, and Matt will talk about that briefly here. We've also been working with Free Geek. Most of you are probably familiar with them.
Yeah.
So we worked in a very quick 5S activity in our mobile device area, and this is before. And you can see they made huge progress just in a couple hours of work. And actually, this was a couple hours of work. We got all the different devices organized together in the same area. So at least they could see what the actual devices they have on hand. And then this was over the last couple weeks. They've been chipping away at all the things. What do we actually need to do the job here? And once we realize that, all of a sudden the space opens up. And you feel like you're not so congested and constrained. So they've been doing a great job with just some real basic concepts moving forward. About rebuilding.
Who's a fan of the Rebuilding Center? I love that place, right? So have you ever gone there and like walked your door and your door trim and your other box of junk to the checkout counter only to find you're like number 6 in line and there's 3 people with questions in front of you, then people are banging into you? And so it's a big mess. And so this is the kind of the whole team of people involved. Ella Rose, he's probably somebody you'd recognize if you're a frequent member. And so it was probably, we were 3 months into a whole series of workshops geared toward identifying who their customers were and what the different wastes are. And so we're laying out different cardboard layouts at the checkout counter. And so we get through this exercise called Seven Ways, where we just like, totally basic, think about different ways to reduce waste in the checkout process and relay it out. And so she finally comes to me like quite a while into this whole activity, and she's been totally sweet this whole time, and she says, you know, I didn't really trust you guys when we got started. And that blew my mind, because she was like the nicest person in the whole world, and she was totally engaged, so I thought. But what the narrative was really was going on in the back of her mind was, who are these guys? What are they doing here? How are they going to ruin my life and my workstation? And I mean, I'm just going to tolerate it until they leave. So it was really fun, because firing that guy is not an option. And so through engagement and through like thinking more about the Papa John's pizza maker, strategies to get him involved in identifying his own waste and fixing it, like that's the key here. I'm really pleased to show that when you go into Rebuilding Center, you're going to start to see a new checkout counter with a couple of point-of-sale workstations and maybe a little less waste in the customer process. So just another different example on a wasted movement and time and people and customers.
Yep.
So I guess we're pretty well at the end of our deck slides. So we've covered a lot today as far as right from the beginning with part one in the culture of collaboration and leadership and psychological safety. Part two has really been around wastes and a kind of a tool set you can use. We've got a few minutes for some just questions about the whole afternoon, and then we'd like to wrap it up with another plus delta. So think about some feedback you can give us on something you liked, which is a plus, and something that we can change to make the next workshop even better, that's a delta. And that's another tool you can take away to your own environment. Every time you have a regular meeting or something, ask for some feedback. So Kales and Dave are in the audience, as well as Brian and I. So what have you not asked that you want to hear a little bit of information about before you take off for the day?
I have a quick question, actually.
You, sir. What's your question?
Can people still sign up for tomorrow's workshop? Is that open to you?
I'm not positive because I'm not running the invitation, but yeah, if you are really interested in jumping in on that meeting at the Port of Portland, then come see me. You can, I think we're having it at noon to 12 tomorrow.
Back in the back?
Yeah, so we did, the first workshop was just an overview, kind of like this, on basic process improvement. The second one will be a couple tools around defining a project, and then what are the first steps to figure out who the right team should be to attack a specific problem. So it could be, we are wasting spaghetti sauce, and that's our biggest dollar item, and we want to cut that in half. And so that'd be the define, yeah, ideally around food, but first starting off just getting people familiar with defining out a problem and then working through a project. And then if they're comfortable, and if they have a wasted food one, that'd be great. But then we're going to do this again and do a second round of projects, and that one it has, we really want to be focused on the wasted food part.
So, I'm sorry, I'm asking because I have interest.
Okay.
Is it wasted food from the Port of Seattle in terms of, or excuse me, Port of Portland in terms of,
It's a metro area initiative.
Like the whole, like any restaurant,
anybody. Yep. That's the idea, yeah. So we kind of started with solid waste advisors in the county and then people at the Port of Portland. So, but it's open to whoever. We've just been trying to get the word out a little bit. So yeah, come see me if you're interested in learning more.
Yeah. All right, I have a question regarding, you can come up with this idea of, okay, here's this better process. The trick is, how do you keep people doing it? So your geek folks who are rearranging their desk, that look beautiful.
Yeah.
What's to say it's not going to look like a disaster 2 weeks later? People say, oh, I'm going to use this new software, but I'm so used to doing it this other way with this spreadsheet.
Yeah.
How do you keep that really happening and make the change permanent and effective?
Well, I would say you just got to keep adding energy to the system. We've talked about the onion model. I'd really try to break that down with your team and see where there are issues that are going to fall apart and what kind of things you need to do, not just from the process. You can fix that with a project, right? Special project improvement happens. But then what kind of values do you guys have in an organization? Do you need to do a daily huddle where you check every day to see if the supplies are in order? Or do you do monthly audits where the CEO rounds on a random person and sees and does a file system check and then gives an award out?
And so what other kinds of things can you do back at the inner side of the onion to make those sustain, make those changes sustainable?
I would also say that it's about every individual themselves. You have to model the behavior that you want to see, like Dave mentioned as well. And especially if you're in a leadership position, I've seen this with some of my clients. We've got to wrap up soon, so if anybody wants to leave right now, I won't feel offended if you walk in. But yeah, I've seen this with my clients where like some of the owners of the company, their desk is just a horrific mess, and they're saying, we got to go lean, you got to be tidy and organized. Like, well, hang on a second, that's great, we'll do this 5S, and then someone walks around, you know, past your desk, and they're like, yeah, whatever. So, you know, but not just at a leadership level, it's true for everybody. So, you all got to model the same behavior, which is hard. But...
So, the last two slides, we had the form, and then the link here on the back of the page will let you download and use this deck, and I urge you to do it and give us some feedback on how you're using the deck. Stay in touch and give us a plus delta. A little feedback is a gift. Thanks for turning out today, guys.
Yeah, thanks.